Hello, this is Janet Gallen and
Myrna Aronoff
together for A Love Letters Live. And I have been wanting to talk about the importance of thank you notes as a love letter. Really important because of the way they make other people feel. They acknowledge another person's good work and generosity. And I came across today in the San Francisco Chronicle, or yesterday, an article that touched me so on this subject that I wanted to share it with you. And here it is. This is the story of Micah Jermel Schneider, is a 13-year-old Giants fan, a little leaguer, who decides to collect baseball gear and send it to poor kids in Cuba as his personal bar mitzvah project. He never gets a thank you note or any indication that it has arrived. And so he sets up a second collection of bats and balls and cleats and gloves. And this time he decides to deliver it there in person. Now, what happened was it wasn't so easy to send something to Cuba from here. You know, there are the political realities. But it was very important for this boy to send a gift to the Cubans. It turns out that his grandfather took refuge. When his grandfather was fleeing the Nazis, Cuba took him in. And so his family has some feeling of gratitude towards the people of Cuba. And he said at one point, this boy says, I knew the U.S. didn't like Cuba, but I didn't know the extent of their dislike. Anyway, he did this, and he says during an interview at his kitchen table, he did not know the extent of the dislike. The shipping clerk was from, he went to Canada at this point, I think, they were in a Toyota Prius headed to Vancouver, British Columbia, with Micah and his younger brother, Jaden, in the back seat with gear on their laps and an overloaded roof rack. They walk into a Canada post office and ship their three boxes to Pastors for Peace in Havana. Nothing to it. I was expecting them to say no because I'd heard it so many times before, Micah says. It took like 5 minutes and we sent them. Then they come home and Micah waits for confirmation that his shipment has arrived. He waits for weeks and then he waits for months. He tracks it and writes letters and sends emails that go unanswered. By now, he's an outfielder on the JV baseball team at Lowell High School and has other things on his mind. But he also knows the story is unfinished, and that's where the backstory comes into play. And this is about Micah's grandfather, Herb Schneider, having arrived in, survived the Holocaust as a child, escaping Vienna by way of a few years in Havana. And he says, I felt like I had a debt to repay Cuba because they had taken care of my grandfather during such a vulnerable time in his life. So the family makes a second road trip to Los Angeles to recruit Schneider, now 80, for their journey. Sure, he says. He's happy to do this. And they actually go to Cuba, I believe. Isn't that right?
Yes,
they go to Cuba to see if their gift had gotten there and to take more equipment.
By way of Cancun, Mexico.
Thank you. By way of Cancun, Mexico, Myrna is saying. Thank you, honey. Anyway, he hands over one bag to a pastor at Havana Youth Center. She opens it and takes out a new catcher's mask and puts it on as if she plans to keep this for herself. Then Micah, using his dad as translator, asks her if she ever got the first shipment, the very first shipment. And she says yes, she got it. Micah is so shocked, and he has his dad ask her a second time. I had the rush of relief, he says. At that moment, I realized all my hard work was not for nothing. He did not have the nerve to ask the follow-up question, why she never bothered sending a thank you note. And he's a charitable young man, and he says, I guess they just forgot. So I want to talk about thank you notes. Myrna, did you want to say more about this?
There was something that when he went to a game.
Oh, thank you.
When he was 18 years old, and he noticed that Yazel Puig, or P-U-I-G, okay, he went to look because he had taken some signed baseball balls home, and these were men that were using some of his balls, and there was a signature on it. And then he realized that one of them, while he was watching the Giants play the Dodgers, he recognized one of the players.
As this man.
Yes. And he had met him, and he had used some of his gifts that were sent.
So the connection just deepens and goes on. And I want to talk for a minute about thank you notes. There is no excuse for not having sent one. This child took it into his head and his heart not only to do something for boys in another country who didn't have the advantages of this equipment, but he felt an indebtedness. I mean, he goes back to historical thank you, an indebtedness for the fact that the Cubans took in his grandfather. He feels connected.
But maybe when you think about it, you know, how do we learn how to be gracious and how to thank? Do we learn from our families? Do we learn from our friends? And it's very possible that this woman was never taught. I mean, we take it for granted that if somebody does something for us, that they're going to send a thank you. And in our world of today, where everything is so quick and fast, that many people use... we send it by email.
She didn't
thank you.
She didn't do that. She sent nothing. She sent nothing. And that is just another point of that I want to mention about a thank you note. I am sure many of you have sent things by mail. You order something from a store, and you wonder if it got there. And what I want to say is that one of the points of a thank you note, in addition to acknowledging somebody else's generosity and saying that you just appreciate what they did and make them feel good by this, is to let them know their gift got there so they don't have to worry about it anymore.
And then what happens is that you get very confused. You're waiting and waiting and waiting for the thank you note to come. Did the store send it out as ordered? And you don't want to be rude. So you're turning on, you become a victim.
Oh, so you don't want to nag,
Right. Did you know the person, and you want to give them time, a certain amount of time, and then it starts going beyond the time, and then you start, unfortunately, you start to become annoyed and angry at that, and it becomes very unpleasant. So what do you do?
Okay, I'll tell you what I think. I think on this subject, because he did more than just have a store send a gift, he made it part of his coming
mission.
Of age. You know, this was what he did to mark his becoming a man, the age at which he is responsible for his own actions, and made his first action so lovely. And he did it three times.
But no, and then he did it three times by how many people would take extra step and go
and then
to Havana and go there and to confront.
I would have said to this woman, I'm so glad you got it all, but may I ask you something? Why didn't you let me know? Not even judgmental. I mean, it has nothing to do with you weren't raised well or you were rude, but maybe there was a reason. Maybe you find out that she was not allowed to. Maybe she will say, I just didn't think of it.
Or maybe she would have said, you know something, I did send it to you, and maybe
it didn't
get to you because we don't have good relationships.
Very good point. By the way, some letters that you do send to people where you do have good relationships don't get there.
So,
some emails don't get there. It's always good to ask, Myrna.
Always good.
Yes, because you'll either find out something that puts your heart at ease, like, yes, I did send it, by all means, or the person who didn't think to send it will maybe have learned that I should.
Well, he was still a young man out in the world feeling, but he was afraid to ask, just like I waited and waited, and then finally, after 4 months, I asked if my gift had gotten there.
Oh, so talk about your gift, because, yes. So in addition to seeing this article, I was talking to Myrna, and she started talking about thank you notes and how important that were, and they were, at which point I said, good, let's talk about this on love letters, because they are love letters. So what was your incident?
No, my reaction was I waited and waited.
You had sent a gift to someone.
I had sent a wedding gift to somebody, and I hadn't heard. And then I was traveling, so I forgot about it. And I hadn't heard, and I said, well, maybe she's busy. There's a lot of things going on.
Right.
So I gave her the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
And I waited and waited and waited. And then I said something to my daughter-in-law, who actually sent the gift for me, but with my our names on it. And she says, oh, my gosh, didn't I tell you? She said they received the thank you note and couldn't understand. She's busy at work and forgot to mention it to me. So, therefore, I never got the thank you note, and I had to say something to the mother. And the mother said, well, I mentioned to her to have it sent to you, but unfortunately, I never got a personalized thank you note. And what do? I let it go.
Well, what you do is this just brings up the importance of real communication. So don't ever be shy about saying, did my gift get to you? I never heard, and I'm concerned. And then leave it up to the other person to say, I'm so sorry, I haven't had a chance to write them all, which can certainly be true with big events and weddings, and, you know, it can take a couple of months, certainly. And but it's a nice way of opening up a communication with somebody.
Yes, it is.
You know,
yes,
and you might well hear, I did get it, and I love it, and we use it all the time, but I'm so sorry I didn't get a chance to say thank you yet, but it's coming.
But it's coming.
Yes,
but
and even coming. If it wasn't coming, it'll be coming now, and the person will learn something about communicating.
Now, in this world of internet, it is always wonderful, especially love letters or whatever, to get something handwritten from somebody. And so many people are busy today. How do we feel about getting a thank you through a text or an email or some kind of other communication, but not handwritten?
Oh, well, I'll tell you how I feel. I've come to accept it. And if I get a handwritten, this is gravy. But what I do myself when I get something, I want the immediacy of the thank you, because I don't want somebody to have to wait 4 days for me to, you know, sit down the next day and then get it to the mailbox and to have somebody think I didn't appreciate the dinner or the party or the whatever it was. So I email a thank you, and I say it's going to be brief, letter to follow. And sometimes I get carried away in the email, and I do the whole, here's my whole heart on a plate, thank you, and then I do it by hand also.
All right, well, you're an unusual person.
But it's an option.
You know that.
You can do it by one or the other.
But you do both.
I do both, because I'm a little insane.
Okay,
yes.
Because that's who you are, and you want it to go through. Now, how do you go, taking another step, when you have grandchildren?
I want to talk to you about that, yes.
Okay, grandchildren, yes. And they... some of them will send a thank you, and you know that maybe it's prompted by the parents.
Nice lessons.
Okay, and some aren't. And how do you handle the thank yous? I mean...
Well, I think it's important for our children and our grandchildren to know, and you say this as a grandmother if you feel this is true, I think it's important for those children to know how much it means to see that handwriting on a piece of paper from the grandchild, even if it just says, not much, you know, thank you for the shirt, I love it, and I love you, and sign it. There's something about, first of all, you've gotten something that those little hands have touched.
That's true, and we all love that.
Yes, and over years, you have a collection of those, and you can see the change in handwriting, and you can see the child become the adult through its very handwriting. And I think if children know how much grandparents love to get those little notes, it will be more fun for them to do it.
But whose responsibility is it? Is it the grandparents' responsibility or the parents' responsibility to relate that?
It has always been, I think, the parents' responsibility to teach etiquette. But you know something? If parents don't think of it, I don't think there's anything wrong with you, with a grandparent saying, you know what, Satskala? Please send me a note when I send you something. It means so much to me. I love getting mail from you. I love seeing your handwriting. Just when you get something that I send, just write me a little note to tell me that you got it.
Okay.
And if you want, you can tell me if you like it.
Now, what happens...
And they can do that when they're four.
But what happens where the parent has them call you to say thank you? Now...
Then you could say... My mother used to say this, by the way, and I mean, I grew up with this phrase. If I would say something to her that was flattering or appreciative, she would say to me, yeah, put it in writing, just like that. And I now know, I see the wisdom of that, because the writing lasts forever.
But it does, but these are children in today's world that are busy 24/7, and they think when they get it and they call you that that's enough. And you're especially if these children live far away, they...
And it is enough, by the way. We have a miracle of all kinds of communication. So truthfully, if they call to say thank you, that's enough. You've sent them something. It is enough to be polite. I'm just going the extra step to say, you can say to them, would you do something really special for me? Would you send me a note? And here, I'm going to give you this box of stationery. And I'm going to put a stamp on every single envelope. So for the next 20 times that you feel like it, you can just write a little note and stick it in this envelope and put it in the mailbox.
Do you want to know something? You happen to be right. I did that when they went away to camp.
Oh, good. Okay, exactly.
But now I'm thinking the post office is very good, you know, because they have forever stamps.
Yes.
So when you stamp something,
good point.
You at least know that, you know, they can mail it and not have mm-hmm. to worry that it's going to come back.
And you can even make more of a game. You can say, you know, what's your favorite color stationery? I'm going to send you a box. And what kind of stamps do you like? I'm going to choose the stamps that you like.
Now,
and stamp every one of those envelopes.
So you have to be really, when you think about this,
participate in their lessons.
And proactive.
Yeah.
By going out and getting them the stationery, the stamp, and let them know how we feel.
And you don't teach them to read by saying read. You teach them to read by reading with them.
Yes.
You don't teach them to dance by saying dance. You teach them to dance by dancing with them.
And we don't want to be critical. But you figure adults...
Right.
You feel would have the same sense of caring and the same
right.
sense of being generous to you in their feelings by thanking you. And therefore, it is very difficult to teach them.
Right. Or, by the way, or you can send a letter. Remember the old self-enclosed stamped envelope? You can send a letter. I think I did this once. Send a letter, and you put in a self-addressed stamped envelope, and... It makes it really easy. You know, dear, you know, Louisa, da-da-da-da-da, whatever it is you want to say. And I put in an envelope and a piece of stationery so you can just answer me right away and stick it in the mailbox. You can just make the whole thing a game.
See, that's it. And not only a game, you have to make life easy for people.
Right.
That's what it is. Everybody's rushing
right.
here and there, and they don't right. have time, and they use that as an excuse.
Well, and you know, you make a really good point, because with all the methods of communication we have now, there is email, there is texting, there is telephoning. Faxing, never mind, that went down the drain, I think.
Yes. like thank you notes.
Fax, but I don't know, some people still have fax machines. They
yeah,
use.
We do.
But there are so many ways, and the truth is that the polite thing, the goal is to say thank you. So there are many ways of doing it. So now, you know, people talk about the lost art of love letter writing. You hear that a lot. It's a lost art. You know what? It isn't a lost art at all. It's not a lost art. It's just in the hands of fewer of us. You could be one of the artists.
No, yeah. I think that's...
So if you make it a pleasant choice, you know, to those children, send a little booklet of stickers and just say, you know, send me one of your favorite pictures from the newspapers. Maybe Mommy and Daddy can help you cut it out. I'd like to know what your favorite picture is for today's paper. Just make communication that way kind of
fun.
A wonderful summer project.
Everybody's
busy. That's the truth. But how many minutes a day do you kind of fizzle away?
Well, you know what it is? It's like how many hours. But what happens is you go and all of a sudden people aren't emailing. They're texting. So it's short little quick messages, but at least it's a communication. And that's what it's a question of taking the text and putting it into something that's written, because I happen to like to go to the mail and see
yes.
a little special handwritten.
Instead of the garbage that comprises your mail pile today.
Exactly. And also, we talk about the love letters, which are very important. As the people are getting older, it is very, very important for people to convey their feelings and say the things that are inside of them, because they'll be sorry someday that they haven't been able to relate that. And it's a very, in today's world, we never know what's going to happen. So
right.
immediacy is...
immediacy is what you get from texting. The other's a little more leisurely, but you touch on something else here that's really, I think, important. And that is technology changes. You know, we're laughing at faxing because nobody does that anymore, very few people. And whatever you put on what you think is a permanent hard drive, it's not a permanent hard drive. Something will replace it soon. How quickly the new becomes primitive, it's in a flash. Those letters last forever. And the point here is that once grandma is gone from this earth, and especially you have very close relationships with your granddaughters, you do things with them. You have something special with those girls.
Yes, I do.
When you're gone, they're going to feel a lack in not just your personality and your ebullience and your, you know, hi, I'm here, that's so clear, but the things you do with them and the way you love them and the way you admire and tell them. And when you're gone, what's going to be left is a pile of letters in some treasure box, and they're going to bring it out.
Well, we hope that they save it.
Yes.
You know, that's the other thing.
Well, yes.
And it's not only grandchildren. It's your own children.
It's everybody.
You would feel. It's everybody, your friend.
Right.
You know.
A treasure box should be part of, I think, a birth gift. You know, a box for letters. But that's just me. But
that's you.
The point is you bring that out, and you're touching something that grandma has felt the touch of. But they're also going to get to go in your treasure box after you're gone. I don't mean to be planning for your demise quite so soon. But the truth is they're going to be going through your stuff, as they should. And they're going to find the letters that they wrote to you. And they're going to see their little handwriting and how it's matured. And it's going to bring back alive the entire relationship.
No,
I cannot say enough how important those little thank you notes are.
Very, very important.
Dear Grandma, thank you for calling me yesterday. I'm
what happens is with the letter.
Yes, darling.
Okay, and sometimes they delete. Delete, delete, delete. Letters you do not delete.
Okay,
letters you can go back and you can reread, you can touch, and you have them. And you look at them in a different way.
And you cannot reread a phone call. On top of which, you know, memory dims. You forget something you might have said. You forget exactly how it was somebody said something to you. But if you have the letter, you have it on paper. My mother was right. Yeah, put it in writing.
Put it in writing. Mm-hmm. And the tone. Sometimes there's a tone when you email and it doesn't look right.
Oh,
and it's very quick and fast. But in a letter, whoever is writing it or you're writing it, you're relaxed and you're writing it and you don't have a tone that's that gets to you. Sharp tone.
Yes,
it's more loving.
That's right. You can feel something different. And handwriting is critical.
Handwriting is very critical.
I don't know about you are what you eat, but you are definitely how you write. It says everything about your personality. In fact. So I wanted to say another thing, though, about that handwriting. The envelope, I mean, a love letter is a gift. It's a gift you have designed for one person on this earth, for your grandma or your grandpa or your parents or your friends or your sister or brother. It doesn't matter. It's a custom designed gift.
Or your significant other.
Yes, let's not forget them. It's a custom designed gift. No one will ever send them the same gift. And the envelope is the gift wrap. So for those children to be able to draw pictures on envelopes, I mean, my granddaughter has done envelopes that I don't see how they get past the post office because they are so filled with, I don't see how they find the address. But, you know, the post office is a genius of an organization.
They are.
Yes.
They get to you. They know. But your granddaughter is one in a million. They're all one in a million.
They are. And the point is that it's an art project. It's a fun thing to do. So we should all be teaching our little children and our grandchildren to write letters of thanks.
Now, I have somebody who helps me at home during the week. And I've been, you know, I've given a few things, little things, birthday gifts, a little something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's come from a world that never, they didn't even have letters, they didn't know anything, but she is teaching them and educating them, and I get thank you notes from them.
Oh, you sent her children, you mean?
Yes, I've given to her kids. For me to see them, they are from Mexico, and for me, they're living in America and going to school, and to see these children that know how to write a thank you note touches me so much.
Well, not only that, then that's another generation of friendship that's just automatic.
Yes. Yes,
that's
yes.
A second generation that you're going to grow up with those children in your heart and they with you in theirs.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's very meaningful. That is a gift. It's truly a gift of love.
Right.
And I hold on to theirs because I feel it's something that they were not used to, and their mother certainly wasn't used to, but she's teaching them.
How lovely.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So all forms of communication are fine. Something special about a letter, something that has felt the touch of your hand, and maybe you've held it to your lips. And I'll tell you one very funny story. A woman I know who was a guest on Love Letters Live, she had a perfume that she didn't like. She couldn't stand the smell of it. She didn't feel like she should throw it away. So when she was writing to her husband, who was away in Vietnam, she would perfume the letters. And so the perfume wasn't wasted, and he got something a little special. Well, he came to love that perfume.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the scent of her across oceans and continents. And when he got home from the war, I will tell you, it's the only perfume he wanted her to wear.
She could
not stomach it.
Oh, my God.
But
what you do for love.
But you know what? It's the power of personalizing a letter.
Yes.
So have a good time with it. Thank you all for listening to us. I'm so glad I got to tell you about this little boy and his gift to the Cuban baseball team. Just boy to boy. It was just wonderful. And let's just get the word out about sending thank you notes as love letters. And it shouldn't be an obligation. It doesn't have to be. It can be your joy if you just look at it right. It's your chance to say that you've done something wonderful. And you don't even have to go into, I loved it so much, because maybe you did and maybe you didn't. You can drop that part. You can just talk about how much you love the generosity of the person doing it. And if you like what they sent, yes, do that too. Okay, thank you for listening. For now, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye, and I want to remind you that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, every letter you write is a special occasion. So, Myrna, thank you, honey, for kind of instigating or doing this.
And Janet, I have to tell you, I have a long friendship with Janet,
yes.
And I always admire the way that she would write.
Oh.
That was one of the things that drew me to her.
And by the way, I just want to say, it's easier to drop a note sometimes than it is to reach people on the telephone. I try three times. I get three voicemails, and I go take a piece of paper, and I drop a note. It'll get there quicker. Isn't that a bizarre thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, and this, by the way, yes, the story of this boy is going to be a film,
a documentary.
It is a film. And you can look for it. And it's called, do you have the name of it here? Because we've only got
called, it. It's called Kirk. What is it called?
Oh, what is it called?
Here it is.
All right, we're muttering around here. I should have thought of this.
Havana Curveball.
Okay, Havana Curveball. It's got to be a great story. Okay, so to the people of Cuba for protecting this man who ran from the Nazis, we love you. And to the woman who was too busy to write a thank you note, we want to hear from you. Bye.
Bye.